On The Moving Icon, host Chris Vlachonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
Missionary work is one of the most important and honorable works within the Orthodox Church. However, it's a massive commitment requiring much personal sacrifice. Today I have Jesse Brando, who bears no relation to the actor, though I'm sure he would love to, but he's a 26-year-old American who's about to embark on a 2-year mission to Guatemala in South America. Few people are aware of the rapidly growing church in Guatemala, which is home to the Mayan people, ancestors of one of the world's greatest civilizations. I've got Jesse on the line now. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. And thank you to everyone for tuning in.
What inspired you to become a missionary worker?
Yep, I'm 26 years old. I grew up in the Orthodox Church, and even from a young age, I remember being drawn to mission work, largely because of my grandma, who worked in India for over 10 years as a missionary, and my dad was born and raised there in India. So I remember my grandma one time sharing with me a little parable to explain why she became a missionary. She said, "Jesse, imagine that you're part of a large group of people who have cut down a big tree, and you're trying to carry the weight of that log. But the problem is that almost the whole group is gathered at one end of the log, leaving almost no one to carry the weight on the other end. So which end, she asked me, would you go to help carry the weight?" I said, "I'd go to the end where almost no one is standing, and I'd try to bring other people there with me." She said, "Exactly. That's why I became a missionary. Because as Christians, we're called to carry the weight of the gospel, both at home, in our own communities, and abroad, in new countries. But the problem is that many people are willing to stay in the communities at home, but few people are willing to go abroad to carry the gospel in new lands." So that story always stuck with me when I was growing up. And when I first went to Guatemala in 2009, when I was in college, I remembered that story. And then I returned to Guatemala in 2012 for a full summer. And that was during seminary. I just graduated from seminary in 2013. And when I went down to Guatemala both of those times, I saw exactly what my grandma was talking about. There is so much need in Guatemala for help in carrying the weight of the gospel, the weight of the church. But there are so few people who are there helping to carry that weight. So that's why I decided to become a long-term missionary, and I volunteered to go to Guatemala for 2 years to carry the weight of the church, the weight of Christ, the weight of the gospel in Guatemala.
So how did Orthodoxy reach Guatemala?
The history of Orthodoxy in Guatemala is kind of similar to the early history of Orthodoxy in Russia. So in Russia, you have a massive conversion of the Kievan Rus under St. Vladimir. And his leadership in bringing a huge group of people into the Orthodox Church paved the way for the growth of Orthodoxy in the Russian lands. And in Guatemala, you have a kind of similar story. There is a man named Father Andres Giron, which means Father Andrew, and he was a Roman Catholic priest in Guatemala who lived and worked over the last 60 years in Guatemala. He made it his life's work to build up and advocate for indigenous communities in Guatemala. There are millions, actually, of Mayan Indian communities in Guatemala, millions of people of Mayan Indians in Guatemala. And Father Andres spent his life trying to help these people who are generally very, very poor. So he built up schools, he brought medicine out into these mountain villages where the people live, And he tried to get them land. He tried to build up infrastructure. And he even risked his life to help these people. He was shot at a number of times when he was trying to help them. And through his work, he gained a very loyal following of people in Guatemala who were Roman Catholics, who were underneath him. And he was the one who discovered Orthodoxy and started to come into the church slowly in the 2000s. He learned more and more about Orthodoxy. And then in 2010, Father Andres converted to the Orthodox Church and became a priest in the Orthodox Church under the Ecumenical Patriarch. And so all of the people under him came into the Orthodox Church in 2010. And now, just 5 years later, they're still beginning their journey as Orthodox Christians.
What does Orthodoxy offer to the people that they didn't have beforehand?
Orthodoxy brings so much to these people. And I believe that one of the most powerful aspects of Orthodoxy for the people of Guatemala is the profound value that we place on the local church community. And this value for the local church community is so powerful in Guatemala because the people have experienced isolation from the huge, broader structures of their country, such as the government. They live in high mountain villages, just forgotten about by their own country. So it's very powerful for them to see their village as the heart of the church. And I could tell in 2012 when I spent time with Father Andres Giron, the leader of these communities, I could tell how much this message captivated him. He told me one time, he looked at me and he said, "Jesse, do you see my cassock? This doesn't make me a priest. The people in the villages made me a priest." And when I heard him say that, I could tell how much he was drawn to Orthodoxy, in large part because of the value of the local church community as the heart of the church.
How has Orthodoxy been enriched by the culture?
That's a really good and important question. And to be honest, Orthodoxy is so young in Guatemala that it's hard to really answer that question yet. It will take decades, really, or longer, to really know the answer. And it will be a gradual process. The process of Orthodoxy engaging with the Mayan Indian cultures in Guatemala will begin in small and like visible ways through rituals and customs. And you can see some of those in Guatemala, there's a practice in Guatemala and elsewhere in Latin America of making beautiful ornate designs on the ground, kind of like a carpet. And people use sawdust, colored sawdust, to make these designs on the ground, or sometimes they'll use pine needles or leaves or other materials to make these beautiful carpets on the ground. And this is done for Holy Week, for processions, and it's also done just to welcome guests into churches. And I saw that in the Guatemalan communities when the bishop came to visit. They made these carpets for him. So that's one small visible way that the villages in Guatemala are enriching Orthodoxy through their culture. But the long process hopefully eventually will take place on a deeper level than what's just visible to our eyes. And what that will involve is the whole culture of these people really becoming integrated with the message of the gospel in the Orthodox Church. And that involves a lot more, because in Guatemala we're dealing with a culture that has experienced a lot of traumas throughout the past centuries. First, the trauma of brutal treatment at the hand of the Spanish who came to Guatemala in the 1500s and after. And then throughout the centuries, the traumas of the government and civil wars taking place in Guatemala, and the difficulty of negotiating between the ancient pagan beliefs in Guatemala and the new Christian beliefs. So all of that comes with the culture in Guatemala. And as Orthodoxy takes root there in Guatemala, the real process that needs to take place is integrating that whole culture with Orthodoxy in an authentic way. And that will enrich Orthodoxy because it will help us to see how to do that in our own cultures when we see it happening in Guatemala.
Now, having traveled to Guatemala twice before, how has this ancient land enriched your own personal faith?
Well, I've been impacted, especially in Guatemala, by the people themselves. And through them, I've gained an incredible experience of hope, of authentic Christian hope. As I said, the people in these Mayan villages in the mountains of Guatemala have experienced civil wars. They've felt isolated and left out and forgotten in their own country. And they struggle with incredible poverty in their communities. And through all of that, they come into their churches with such hope in Christ. It's amazing. I remember in one of the villages named Aguacate, which actually means avocado, I remember going into the church one day, and I was just minding my own business. There wasn't any service going on. And suddenly a woman came running into the church, wearing her beautiful Mayan Indian patterns that are ancient clothing patterns. And she was cradling her newborn child, a little boy. She ran up to the front of the church and fell down before the iconostasis that had just been installed in that church. And she was praying to the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary. I realized that her child was dying right there in her arms. And I had no idea what to do. So I went next door to try to get the priest in the village, Father Diego. And he fortunately had a little bit of infant formula that he mixed with water. And he brought that into the church and tried to revive the little boy. But sadly, within just a few minutes, that child died right there in front of the Theotokos. And that hit me really hard because I felt so helpless to do anything. But do you know what hit me even harder? It was what the people in Aguacate said. They said to me, "Seeing you and seeing the icon of the Virgin Mary and seeing the bishop when he came to visit, we have hope, because now we know we're not alone." Wow. Chris, that was so powerful. That was so powerful, because I didn't do anything. But for them, just because I was standing there, it was a sign that Jesus Christ is standing with them. And that gives them incredible hope. So that's what has enriched me and my faith.
Thank you for sharing that story. If only we all had that kind of experience, we might realize how fortunate we are to be in the church. But what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing the mission, and what do you think are the next steps necessary?
Probably the biggest challenge in Guatemala right now is a lack of leadership and people who can minister to the people there and help them learn about Orthodoxy. Sadly, just 1 year ago, Father Andres Giron died. And he left the church in Guatemala in the hands of just six indigenous priests there. And that is a huge challenge because there are thousands of people in the church in Guatemala. Can you imagine six priests trying to minister to thousands of people in Guatemala? It would be like, you know, a handful of priests in Australia trying to travel to all of the different towns and cities in Australia. So the challenge in Guatemala is they need more priests, deacons, and lay leaders to be trained so that they can go out into the villages to help the priests teach people about Orthodoxy and also just provide, you know, human care, pastoral care to people. And so the next steps for that is what I'll be helping with and what Father John Chacos, who's a missionary specialist who takes trips down to Guatemala, what he's helping with is training local leadership in Guatemala. We need actual missionaries to go to Guatemala to train people because they don't have resources there. They can't hop online and get a book ordered. The books aren't even translated into Spanish or into Mayan languages. And even if they were, the people in general have a hard time reading. So they need actual people to go down and to train people in the villages and to care for them, to help the priests who are struggling to minister to a flock of thousands.
And how can our listeners help support the Orthodox mission in Guatemala?
First, please pray for us. Please pray for the people of Guatemala. Pray for the six Guatemalan priests who are working there. And pray for the team of missionaries who are working in Guatemala. You can find out about our whole team of missionaries through OCMC.org. That's OCMC.org. And you also can find out more about the missionaries and all that's happening in Guatemala through MayanOrthodoxy.com. And if you feel called to support any of the missionaries, you can also do so on those websites. And second, please help us to spread the word about what's happening in Guatemala. We need more missionaries, and we need people who can pray for us. So you can help by spreading the word to your friends about what's happening in Guatemala. If you use social media, you can do it on Facebook or on whatever you use. And I post updates to Facebook as well at facebook.com/Jesse Brando. So you could like that and then invite friends to like it or share the news. And you'll be really helping us to get the word out about the incredible work that God is doing in Guatemala.
I wish you every success.
Thank you so much, Chris. And thank you to everyone who's listening. I really believe that together we can carry the weight of the gospel, not only at home on that end of the log, but also to new lands, to Guatemala, and, of course, to the ends of the earth.
That was Jesse Brando, a missionary to the Mayan people of Guatemala. Please be sure to learn more about the mission by clicking the links at the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with Chris Vlachonacios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.